Hi, I'm Richard Roth from Illinois State University, and I'll be discussing the cost analysis of cover crop inclusion and environmental benefits in central Illinois. So the first thing that we'll look at is cover crop adoption. So between the years of 2010 and 2015, cover crop adoption increased nationally by 312%, from approximately 48,000 hectares to just over 150,000 hectares. So the Conservation Technology Information Center has identified the top motivators for cover crop adoption as increasing soil health and organic matter, reducing soil compaction, reducing soil erosion, nitrogen scavenging, and providing a nitrogen source. The same survey identified the top deterrents as the added cost of planting and managing cover crops, the cost of the cover crop seed itself, and no measurable economic return. And I can tell you that the biggest question that myself and colleagues always get when we talk to producers about cover crops is, do the benefits outweigh the costs of input? So what's some of the work that's been done so far to look at this was the development of the NRCS cover crop economic tool, which allows farmers to input values from their own production systems to predict how cover crops will impact profitability. There's been some work done on looking at predicting nutrient credits from leguminous cover crops. However, generally, they don't account for nutrient credits from grass and brassica species. And there's also been work done at looking at cash crop stover removal for the purposes of bioenergy production to generate revenues to help offset the costs of implementation. So where we're heading with our work is we're going to estimate an economic value for nitrogen losses through subsurface drainage, and then use that to estimate an economic value for in-loss reductions through subsurface drainage due to cover crops, as well as estimate an economic value for mineralized nitrogen from cover crop residue for both grass and brassica cover crop species. So the specific objectives of this study were to estimate an economic value for the perceived environmental benefits of cover crops, including subsurface nitrogen loading reductions, cover crop biomass mineralization, and erosion reductions, and two, to determine the potential of those cover crop benefits to help offset or recover the implementation cost. So this two-year case study took place at the Illinois State University Nitrogen Management Research Field Station located in McLean County, Illinois, specifically Lexington, Illinois. It's a tile-drained plot and a randomized block design, and we obtained several key input variables for our model from this site. So when we think about the cost of cover crop inclusion, three main components are there. So you have the establishment costs, which include the seed cost, seeding rate, and the application cost. You have the termination cost, which in our case we chemically terminate. So we have the cost of the chemical as well as the cost of applying that chemical. And then yield change, so whether or not there's a positive or negative impact on yield. So when we look at a summary of the total cover crop costs for the duration of our study, within the 2014 cover crop corn year, we saw that the total cover crop costs range from $135 to just over $275. So the difference in these two systems is that we saw a significantly lower corn yield within the 2080 system in the cover crop plots compared to the non-cover crop plots. So that is where the additional cost came from there. And then when we look at the 2015 cover crop soybean year, the yield drags were very similar, and so the total overall costs were also very similar with about a $7 difference. It's important to note that across the duration of the study, the establishment and termination costs remain the same, and so the changes in the total cost were a result of cash crop yield changes. So at this site, we have two main nitrogen application systems. We have a fall-dominated nitrogen management system and a spring-dominated nitrogen management system, both of those with and without cover crops. And in the table, you can see the three sources of nitrogen that we use. We had fall anhydrous ammonia with a nitrification inhibitor, spring anhydrous ammonia without a nitrification inhibitor, and fall diammonium phosphate. you can see there the different application rates that we use within each system, as well as the cost per kilogram of nitrogen for each source. When we look at a total overall cost per kilogram of nitrogen, taking into account the total rate applied and the cost per kilogram of each source, we come up with a cost of $1.69 per kilogram of nitrogen for the fall-dominated system, and $1.62 per kilogram of nitrogen for the spring nitrogen system. When we look at nitrogen drainage loading results, for the 2 years of the study, we saw that cover crops did in fact reduce nitrogen loading through the subsurface drainage lines when you introduce a cover crop into the system. We saw a range of 5 to 44 kilograms per hectare. And so the numbers that you see before you are the total load of nitrogen from the non-cover crop plots with the total load of the cover crop plots subtracted out. To place a value on this, we take that total reduction in nitrogen loading and we multiply it by that cost per kilogram of nitrogen that we just discussed. In order to look at nitrogen return from the cover crop biomass, we first sampled the above ground biomass in the spring to determine total nitrogen uptake, and then we used a litter bag method to track nitrogen return throughout the course of the cash crop growing season. Cover crop nitrogen uptake results, we saw between 50 and 67 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in the above ground biomass for the cover crop mix that we used. And then we further broke that down to look at how much was within the daikon radish biomass and how much was within the cereal rye biomass because they'll decompose at different rates. When we look at nitrogen return results, we saw anywhere between 41 and 57 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare being returned to the soil from the cover crop biomass residue. And this is assuming 100% nitrogen mineralization from the daikon radish and 95% mineralization from the cereal rye. And this is based upon 3 site years of litter bag studies. To estimate erosion, we used the Russell 2 program with climate zone, state, and county specific data. And to value the soil being eroded, we used the USDA ERS study on economic measures of soil conservation from Hansen and Roboto. And so according to the USDA ERS, 1 metric ton of eroded soil in McLean County, Illinois is worth $9.21. And the Russell 2 results yielded an estimated erosion for our location without cover crops of 1.46 metric tons per hectare per year. And when you introduce a cover crop, that number was reduced to 0.25 metric tons per hectare per year. So this gives us an estimated reduction in erosion through the use of cover crops of 1.21 metric tons per hectare per year. So when you apply a dollar value to that, you come up with an estimated value of reduced erosion equal to $11.15 per hectare. So when we look at the systems as a whole, for the 2014 cover crop, 2015 corn year, we saw a total cost in the 70-30 system of $135.87 compared to a total benefit value of $119.25. So this translates into approximately an 88% coverage of the initial cost of cover crop inclusion. And then in the 2080 system, again, we had that significant reduction in yield following the cover crop. And so our total costs were much higher at approximately $275 per hectare. And our benefits were slightly lower at $89.80 per hectare. And this resulted in approximately 33% coverage of the initial cost of cover crops. So within the 2015 cover crop, 2016 soybean year, the 70-30 system had a total cost of $199.05 compared to a benefits of $101.20, yielding a 51% coverage of the input cost. And in the 2080 system, we saw a slightly lower total cost, about $7, at $192.07, and a slightly higher total benefit of $111.62, resulting in a 58% coverage of the initial cost. So what have we learned so far? So based upon our case study of two cover crop years, including one corn cash crop and one soybean cash crop, the environmental and agronomic benefits associated with cover crops have the potential to recover 32 to 88% of the implementation costs. When we break that down and we look at the key influences on cover crop cost recovery, so we found that cover crops incorporated into a spring-dominated nitrogen application system have the potential to offset the initial outlay by 33 to 58% and 51 to 88% in a fall-dominated nitrogen application system. And then we break that down and look at the individual components. We found that cover crop biomass mineralization has the potential to offset 13 to 61% of the initial costs. The nitrogen loading reductions that you can see from cover crops account for 3.5 to 39% of the initial inclusion costs. Any estimated erosion reductions only account for approximately 4 to 8% of the entire cover crop inclusion costs. So with that, I just want to thank Drs. Shalmar Armstrong, Rob Reichert, and Patrick O'Rourke, Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council for funding the project, my fellow graduate students, Michael Raffatti, Corey Lacey, and Travis Deppy, and the entire support staff at Illinois State University. And with that, I'll take any questions that you might have. How did the biomass differ? Between the spring and the fall treatments? Generally, we saw a higher biomass in the first year, we saw a higher biomass in the fall-dominated nitrogen management system because there was the fall-applied nitrogen, which gave it the nitrogen source to help boost its growth. In the following year, if we were just relying basically on the residual nitrogen following the corn crop, and so they were much more equivalent. So there was the yield between the non-cover crop plots and the cover crop plots. The difference was approximately 14 bushels, I think. So we saw a 14 bushel yield drag. That was also the year where we had one of the wettest Junes in the history of Illinois, the wettest June in the history of Illinois, and we side-dressed our nitrogen application about a week before that all started. And so there was a high potential for a lot of that nitrogen to be lost before the corn could take it up. So
what do you think the reaction of producers is going to be to this analysis? I mean, it doesn't look that positive. Are you going to talk to the producers about
this? That's a good question. I think that it's a step forward from their thought that there's no measurable economic return to the thought that possibly the environmental benefits that we're seeing help offset at least some of the costs that it takes to do it. Another thought behind this is from a policy standpoint, and so many states, I believe, incentivize cover crop adoption. And so if you can point out that the environmental benefits of cover crops cover X percent of the inclusion costs, possibly that helps the policymakers come up with an idea or a range of the percent coverage that they could help cover for the producer. So,
just revisiting that comment that Bill was asking about yields, I mean, I think this is great. I mean, it's always hard to make these assumptions and how you're going to assign value to some of these services.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess just coming back to the yields, it's hard to. So what's going on there? I mean, a rye cover crop is going to potentially reduce some of that water while it's growing. So if you have all this extra water, was it after it was terminated? And are you saying that the loss of nitrogen was because of leaching? But how would that differ between a cover crop and another non-cover crop system? Why would bare ground leach less nitrogen than the rye cover crop ground? Because you're saying that your yield differences were as a function of nitrogen loss.
I think it's a good question.
So the thought is that the recovery of the nitrogen mass or concentration in solution of the soil is slower when you have a cover crop that's slowly decomposing. And so basically, I think to start, you probably have a greater available nitrogen concentration when you did not have, in the pots that did not have cover crops, so it's smaller than cover. So when you get that flush of grain, the recovery of that available nitrogen to support the corn crop at its peak nitrogen demand was slower when you had cover crops versus when you did not. We could have offset that with a starter application, knowing that we had cereal before corn, but we wanted to see, we couldn't assume that the highest rainfall ever in the state would occur in June, a week out from cycle. So I think that's something that could be recouped with redistributing the mass or the rate of nitrogen to the early parts of the growing season, probably